You're listening to the Wait, What If podcast.
We're about to blow stuff up.
Say we were to walk out in the middle of the woods and find a 50-year-old moonshine bottle.
I think you could drink it.
I think I would drink it.
You know, his mom was probably really controlling and he wet the bed as a kid.
Reminds me of a strip club, actually.
Does it really?
Yeah, this is the champagne.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you put the money. Little.
I'm just going to eat this bacon and drink this whiskey.
Be prepared to expand your mind and question your reality. As always, your host, Kevin Sullivan.
Okay, and we're live. Can you guys hear me all right? We're just going to do a quick mic check around here. Mic check.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the Wait, What If podcast. Tonight, we are live. If you can tell by the echoing, it looks like we're in some sort of... hold on. We're getting a lot of feedback from my phone because I had to download these articles that I was going to read about during our episode. And hold on. It is. It's hard. It's hard having an international radio program. All right.
Thing where we're facing the camera.
It's totally mine.
My sensors so buffed.
No, I'm
like it's Meet the Press
or something. Fun. Don't hate on the guy. I'm just pointing out the obvious. She lined up like with the thing over there. Oh, that's right.
I meant because I don't have a mic.
I have the mic. You have the headset.
And if you're listening to this now, if you're listening to this cluster right now, we're actually live on Facebook. So if you're listening to this later, you can see the magic of how we do the podcast. It's a wonderful behind the scenes look. Anyways, here it is. When was this bar first built?
Ooh, there's two different buildings, and although there's not a lot of. They didn't keep very good detailed record.
Oh, okay.
So what we can, just from looking at some of the information we could find working with the town historian, looks like early 1900s.
And you got, are these signs from outside at one point? Because why would they advertise on the inside?
This building was constructed first, the one we're currently sitting in.
Oh, okay.
Actually, second. There's the one next to us, which is Pyramid Mill Pizza. That was built first. And then they built this.
Because I see Star Wars up there. Do I not?
Probably Star Wars. No, it's not Star Wars.
it was Luke's Automotive and Auto.
Oh, they had cars in here? Look at that.
No, what we found out is that I think this place kind of probably sold some auto parts, but because there was not advertisements per se,
okay.
A lot of businesses had just ads painted on their walls.
Okay. So that part's boring. Right below it, it says funeral.
Yes. I know.
I'm like, yeah, automotive parts, cool.
I spent hours and a bottle of whiskey scraping that off, so it's not that boring.
Oh, okay.
That is exciting.
So anyways, so it's just a cool building. And I thought, how cool to record an episode in an old building, because they've been talking about this show. Actually, if you go on the... YouTube page, they do a talk about, this is when it was still, and it's like, you guys were just coming up with the idea of this bar. I think you had a building at the time, but you didn't really, I don't think you'd really worked on it yet. So if you go onto the YouTube site, you'll see a video and Mike talks about it and Malia talks about it. And so now we're actually here. And I thought, how cool, since our podcast, we always talk about kind of like existentialism and deep thoughts and what happens after we die and what things are... Yeah. If you listen to the last podcast with John Taylor over here, we... remember we got into, right at the very end, we were talking about like all that stuff and what is a ghost? What is the energy that's left in an area? Is there ghosts and whatever? And we all know that I am a staunch skeptic. I don't know. I guess you're
I used to be. And okay. Now I'm some sort of weird hybrid.
Okay. She's a hybrid.
The best. I don't know.
Now I'm learning that you're more than you're not a skeptic. You're a.
Well, I'm definitely a skeptic, but I have a very strong respect for anything in that realm.
Okay. Okay.
It's like it's a, just
contingency plan.
Don't come.
I don't believe you, but if you're there, well then yeah, yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool. It's okay.
So I believe you're real. Just don't come take my lunch money.
So we were on like hour two when we started getting into that, and I was like, you know what, we have to do this whole discussion somewhere else. Let's do it here, where there possibly is ghosts in this 150-year-old place. Yeah. Maybe it was built after the Civil War. I think that's what we're guessing. Most of the South has been built
probably at around 1904.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, 50 years after the Civil War, whatever.
Before the Great War.
So yeah, so that's where this whole discussion is going to go. Around the table, we have Dr. Steele.
Hello.
We have, do you know, I was thinking up little nicknames for everyone. I'm thinking I'm going to call you Secret Agent Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Because of your background.
Thank you.
But Savannah Steele, John Taylor. And then we have, I think this is the first time Jamie Stojic has been on the podcast, and she's just behind the camera. So there's Jamie Stojic. Malia Christie, who used to be on quite a bit. We don't really hear you anymore, but she is actually on the cover. If you look on the page and you see the picture of us outside on the back porch, maybe on the website, or I don't know where it is. It's on Twitter. Or
Facebook. I think it's your Facebook.
Oh, this is Clayton. We're in Clayton, North Carolina.
Just outside of Raleigh.
We're south of Raleigh.
Johnston County.
And then, of course, Mike Stojic. And I thought this was cool. And I was the nickname for you, Marine Mike. So I think...
I got a nickname today, by the way.
What is it?
The Twists and Turn Motorcycle Club here in Clayton, North Carolina. They're a really, really great motorcycle club. They do a lot of really amazing things for the community. They gave me an actual club name today. It's Happy Hour.
Did you have to initiate into this club, or?
No, we went in our Rotary, our midday Rotary club, and we all went and bought toys for kids in need this past weekend. And I told them how great it was, and I was like, man, I don't have a motorcycle yet. I'm not part of a motorcycle club yet.
I have a moped.
But I let you yes, use it. You do. Yes, you do. But I'd love to be in a motorcycle club, and I just want one of those cool names. And they were like, how about Happy Hour? And I'm like,
it's a good name.
I accept your invitation to your club.
Except sometimes in motorcycle clubs, all those little nicknames mean something else. Like if your name starts with an H, it means you've killed 14 people with
Perfect.
An ice pick. If you have two vowels in your first name, then it means this. And it has to do something like with the tattoos and all that.
Yeah.
I watched that show? Sons of Anarchy. So I consider myself a profiler of motorcycle gangs.
And Express last night, so totally.
And I have a microphone in front of me, so everything I say is true.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off, since we, like I said before, we started off with this whole, I don't even remember where this discussion went from. It had something to do with, we were talking about ghosts, and ghosts are real, and I said, if a ghost is real, like how could it haunt a, like I don't know, how could it haunt a place? What is actually there? Well, I want to read you a quick article. This came out just last month. I'll tell you, it's on thesun.co.uk, so it's British, so it has to be true, right? Isn't The Sun kind of like a
tabloid?
Is it like the...
It's like tabloids?
Yeah, is it a tabloid?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think it is.
So this is a tabloid article. Scientists claim that death may not be as final as once we feared. You also learn that I can't read out loud worth a shit. My entire life, it's just terrible.
Go on.
Okay. So let's tear me apart as I do this. And that humans have souls that can leave the body after their hosts kick the bucket. It may sound like a supernatural myth, but the idea that human consciousness lives on after death has been put forward by a number of well-respected scientists. I don't know who they are, because... Oh, wait, here we go. British physicist Sir Roger Penrose. He's a sir, and he's a doctor, so he's got to be... He's got to be...
Credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very credible.
How close does that train come by here? Because I just heard it.
I didn't hear anything.
You can actually see it.
Oh, it's going to get loud here in a second.
Is it real, or is that a ghost
no,
train?
Yeah, there's no train.
It's the Polar Express. Okay. So, in the British scientists at the forefront of this eerie theory... claims that humans have souls which don't die along with the body. We may not know exactly what consciousness is, but physicist Sir Roger Penrose believes that it's a packet of information stored at a quantum or subquantum level. We're going to take a pause here as this thing goes by. So, what else did he say? He believes that it's a pocket of information at the subconscious level. And I think we talked about this, that maybe the soul or maybe this whole metaphysical world of things you can't see, maybe ghosts, maybe anything that really happens beyond what we can
spiritual.
Control, happens at this level of our brain that technically doesn't even really exist. So let's break that down for a minute. You have this bottle. This bottle is made up of atoms. Atoms are made up of subatomic particles. Particles.
Subatomic particles.
It's made up of, help me out here, protons, neutrons, electrons, and those are made up of quarks, and something else. Anyways, when you get down to a small level, it's nothing. It's completely, there's nothing really here. The fact that I can pick it up is that my atoms interact with these atoms.
It's nothing that we've quantified thus far, right?
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, couldn't there be things sub whatever we've been able to?
Yeah, yeah. As we get lower and lower, as we get smaller and smaller. Anyways, but those subatomic particles literally snap in and out of existence, and they move faster than time, and everything is just theoretical, and it's just this bizarre thing. So, if our brains are made up of these small atoms, and those atoms are driven by these subatomic particles, then technically our thoughts, everything in our existence, snaps in and out of existence. So there's this intangible realm that we exist in.
I think that all existence, all of it, whether it's that brick or that bottle or us, we're just the transference of energy. Mm-hmm. And that bottle is just, it's hard. It's a hard substance. So it's just a lot of particles moving really, 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 really fast. And so that's why it's dense.
And it's mostly empty space, too. Because if you look at, I think someone had said that like a helium atom is the same as putting I don't remember, it was like a baseball on the pitcher's mound of like Wrigley Field or Fenway Park, and then putting a BB out in one of the seats in the grandstand, and that's the relationship size-wise and space-wise in one of those atoms. Mm. So if you think about other atoms, they're pretty similar unless they're really, really dense, but even that, really dense, what does that mean for a subatomic particle? It still means a lot of it is empty space.
Isn't it that the theory is things that are denser are just moving much faster.
Is denser a word?
Denser, yes, it is.
Most densest.
Most densest.
Yes, yes. The most hardest, denser thing. But it's supposed to be
kind of
that.
I think denser is a word.
Is it? I mean, I don't know. I was just saying. I don't know.
Like, I feel like the most...
We're the densers.
Dense. We're more dense than you are. I don't know. I feel dense just talking about
it. It sounds like a punk rock name. But ladies and gentlemen, we're the densers.
Yeah.
We're going to start off with our first song. Everything is dead space.
More atomic matter crammed into one space, moving around a lot faster, and you get something harder, and then there's softer material, and it's stuff kind of like moving slower.
So then
but
what...
I feel like we're just all the transference of energy, and if you cease to exist, it's like your density maybe goes away, but the energy is still there.
Have you seen those people that they've taken pictures of, and I don't know if it's been debunked, but they take pictures of like a leaf, and half the leaf will be cut in half, and then when they use it on this like electron spectron doogity duke, you can actually see the outline of the other side of the plant, as if there's some sort of energy that's still there.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what it's called. I don't really believe it. I don't know. Maybe it's
something that somebody made up.
Yeah, I think that was
the thing. I guess you can link it to amputees. They can still feel their leg even though it's been like blown off or
sort of. But that's just you're getting stimulation of the nerve. Yeah.
I mean, you think it's just stimulation of the nerve.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, we don't really.
We're the densers. Our first song is Stimulation of the Nerve.
Stimulation of the I love that. That's great. So we need to make a drink called the Stimulation of the Nerves.
Stimulation of the Nerves. So what say you, Mr. Taylor?
So, I mean, my thought on this, he was talking more about the soul.
try to eat your mic a little bit better. Thank you.
Talking about the soul within that article, which is what supposedly separates humans from inanimate objects and from animals.
This is true. And from wine bottles.
Right. Which is an inanimate object. Mm-hmm.
So says you.
However, and so we got me thinking about the idea of 21 grams. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
Yeah, where they weigh people right before and after they die.
Right. So there's a scientific, supposedly, study that was done that said that the weight of the human soul is 21 grams. And basically what they did is they weighed people the moment before they died and right after they died. And supposedly the differential was 21 grams.
Can you imagine, like, if you're the scientist that's been doing that and then he runs up to your room and he's like, let's go weigh you real quick. And you're like, no. It's that damn death doctor and his stupid scale.
But so for me, and I've heard that that study has been somewhat debunked, but that just when you're talking about scientists asserting something about the soul, that it does exist, I would be looking for something like that.
Okay.
Something to be able to quantify what's there.
So I think that makes a lot of sense, and I'd like to add something to it.
Thank you.
So when we ask for that kind of data, we're kind of underlying that data, that request is the assumption that we understand the realm of data that there is to be had. And that's where I think we're falling short. Like there could be a whole, and the reason I think that is because of the whole time being a fourth, another dimension. So that the past, the present, and the future are all somehow here for me. Mm-hmm. And yet, I mean, that makes no sense to me at all. So then I realized, I don't have any data. Like, I don't know anything. Yeah, that's why I'm kind of very open to a lot of theories.
Based on what we know, here's what we can know. But
right.
Exactly. What can you say you know?
Yeah.
Like the puddle, remember, and I always bring this up, I guess, in the show, but the puddle that suddenly becomes conscious, and all he knows is that the puddle, the hole that he's in is perfect, and it fits him perfectly. And he's like, this is made for me. This is all reality, but it doesn't realize it's a puddle. It has no ability to look at itself and understand its surroundings. Right? No?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, really?
I feel,
yeah.
Like, I weirdly sorry for that puddle.
I know.
You've used it quite a few times.
I know. I always kind of...
First time we...
It sounds very similar to, I'm going off in philosophy here, but the allegory of the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, where basically you have people that are looking at the light, their shadows on the wall from a fire, and that's their only connection to reality. They think that's all there is in the world.
Yeah.
They don't know that guy escapes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just very similar. You're just very, you don't know what you don't know.
So our consciousness is a spark that gives us awareness, and we have no way of figuring out what it's there and why it's there. And even if you're the smartest person on earth, you're still the puddle. You know what I mean? You still can't, unless you can escape and look at it from the other dimension, then there's no way for you to really totally quantify what reality is. The article goes on. So Dr. Hans-Peter Dürr, former head of the Institute, I don't know what Institute, because I think I skipped a paragraph, but whatever, the Institute said, what we consider the here and now, this world, it is actually just the material level that is comprehensible. Sort of, I guess, what we were talking about. The beyond is an infinite reality that is much bigger. The body dies, but the spiritual quantum field continues. By this way, we are all immortal. Earlier this year, another remarkable claim about the afterlife was made by a terminally... Oh! So, right?
Brilliant!
Did we get that on film?
Oh, God. We almost tore the whole place down.
I know.
Sorry, Malia walked off with her headset on and almost tore the whole place apart.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting there for a minute. I thought it was a profound thing you heard and everyone freaked out. So this one's kind of cool. So earlier this year, another remarkable claim about the afterlife was made by a terminally ill violinist who survived 17 near-death experiences and claims to have been to the other side. So here's your guy that actually can poke himself out of our reality and then view it from the other side. Paul Robinson died of heart disease. So he just did die. I guess he finally got his 18th death. Yeah. During one of the near-death experiences, he claimed that he was blocked from entering heaven by a group of laughing angels who smelled like aftershave. Another vision saw him bathed in the aura of an Asiatic goddess, whilst he claims that further supernatural encounter made him believe he was a husky dog bounding through the Antarctic. So...
That's really bizarre. So I just read a book called Life After Life.
Yeah.
Or at least I read 45% of it. And, yeah. And he talked about certain elements that were a part of almost every single NDE. And believing that you're a husky dog wasn't one of them.
what so dog breeds were there?
Debunked completely. Yeah. That's
it. It was all poodles.
Well, I read... It was like a neurosurgeon died and he wrote this whole thing. What was that one called? Do you remember? It was like My Journey into the Afterlife or something like that. And he was a big skeptic until he died. And he had like visions. He was going through like mud and being reborn in a weird realm. And he was, don't you think that if we were all going to a similar place after we died, that our experiences would be similar?
Well, so how we interpret them, possibly. But how we interpret things could be totally different. I mean, if we look at the way we all look at the world is shockingly different sometimes. I mean, I'll have conversations with people that are really good friends and I'll realize, you know what? I think that this way that we're both looking at the exact same thing is totally different.
Are you saying that this nation's a little divided? Is that what you're trying to say? Because that's a pretty bold statement to make, Savannah.
But yeah, I mean, actually, that's a really good point. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, I mean, we all have a way of looking at things that's so different. Like, I genuinely believe we all want the best for everybody.
Except but, Democrats, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, sometimes I do question.
It's not necessarily just the way you believe or see the world. I mean, think about taste, you know, think about flavor profiles. Like some people can't, some things like cilantro taste like soap to some people and it tastes like cilantro to other people. And it's just like, well, just our composition is just different.
Well, you know? If you ever saw The Matrix, it's because that's how they...
Right.
Something happens.
I don't even know what your point's going to be, but yeah.
Something about chicken. Everything tastes like chicken because
so
of the...
Of course it's different, yeah.
Jamie, is that thing making all sorts of noise over there?
It's me. I'm kind of blowing up over there because it's super popular.
I keep hearing something. I'm like, all right.
It's like what we were saying. It's hard being the most interesting man in the world.
That's right.
Imagine
that's
what
right.
being the most interesting woman in the world is like. See, it's all perspective.
That's right.
I'll write a book someday.
You should.
We have people out back throwing rocks at something.
Uh-oh.
It's okay.
That's about right.
All right. So we solved it then. We know what the afterlife is.
So, John, what do you think? You said you want a way to quantify this, and I told you why you're wrong. And so now do you believe me?
I don't necessarily think that you need to be able to quantify it. I just think if you're going to come on as a scientist in that article, you need to have some kind of data to support it.
Just instead of these... What do you call it when they just have stories, these anecdotal evidence?
Right, that's nothing. And so as far as like the afterlife with people that have died and come back, I mean, I'm sure that if that happened to me, I would be a strong believer in it. And I've talked to people that it's happened to, but for me, it's like dreams. It's your mind is active when you're not conscious.
Well, they say your endogenous DMT, dimethyltryptamine, which if you're interested in DMT, check out our old episodes. We have a few episodes on DMT, but they say so there's this theory out there that when you're dreaming, this chemical goes active in your brain and your brain acts more of a, let's call it a cosmic antenna. And when you're
conduit?
Yes. Well, when you're asleep and you're in the subconscious level, it's now receiving information at a way that we really can't perceive any other way. It's kind of how people would say, all right, I have ESP, so I can predict this happens, or I can predict it. And we say, you know, that's dumb. That's not real. But perhaps they have a way of tapping into, and again, I don't sound like a skeptic when I say this, but this is just what I'm thinking, that they can tap into this subatomic makeup of their brain and use it as a receiver. You're nodding. Is that what you believe?
Well, tap into a a part of the brain that can actually have this connection with something other than what our conscious mind is capable of. Mm-hmm. Because our conscious mind, we know, sees everything in three dimensions, and we know there are more than just three. Mm-hmm. But so if it's just a dream, then why do many people have the exact same experience or very similar components?
And I don't necessarily have an answer for that, but I mean, obviously a lot of those people are aware of what other people have experienced. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like on two extremes with dreams, and I don't mean to rhyme there, but.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
You just spit a lyric.
We're the dream extreme.
Yeah, it's a new song by the
Dancers. Sounds like some like oi band from the Backbeat of London. With their dances. All right, sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. So I feel that part of some dreams, you can be very insightful. You can discover things that you wouldn't normally discover when you're conscious. And so I've certainly experienced that. But at the same time, I've had dreams about like Beanie Weenie. So like that was one of my favorite dreams. But anyway, like it's not that in depth.
What is Beanie Weenie?
Little hot dogs inside pork and beans.
What?
No, I've never heard that.
Wait. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. What?
It's a song. Isn't there a song?
You guys haven't had Beanie Weenies?
Yeah, it's like, wasn't there a song?
I had Beanie Weenie.
Beanie Weenies.
It's delicious.
I've never heard the term. That's the first. I was thinking about like a Teletubby. I didn't know what you were talking about.
I know what Beanie Weenies are. What's the dream?
Do you know what that means? Anytime you dream of sausages in your dream?
It's a very confusing dream to me, but the point was...
It's okay. All young boys have them. Just tell us.
The point was I didn't feel like it was very much depth to it. I felt like it was a pretty superficial dream.
That's what most grown women feel.
Yeah. But...
he said Beanie Weenies. How are we not going to take an aside on that joke?
And you dreamt about them.
So life after death, Beanie Weenies. But so to me, I feel like there could be something to some people that what they're seeing and feeling when they're dead. But in others, it could be no consequence. You know, something similar to what I had a dream.
Maybe
about.
That's just your body's way, like your brain's way of saying, this information's coming at me weird. I'm going to use something that I know from my memory to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. So cosmic penises coming towards you turn into Beanie Weenies. No, but like an experience. Maybe you had Beanie Weenies on 4th of July or something, and I don't know.
I feel as though we get in the way of ourselves a lot. You know, just I feel like our experiences across humanity and across time and you know, different cultures and everything, I feel like they're very, on the base level, the same. And I feel like kind of our social norms and expectations and all of the, I feel like we make it real difficult for ourselves and we complicate it. And if on a spiritual level, it's kind of the same way, I think that it's not hard to imagine that there's some kind of afterlife or like a spirit or a soul, because if you take away all the clutter, take away all the Walmart that we do to our lives and everything and the categorizations of it all, I feel like it would not be that hard to assume that after we die, then we all just kind of return back to like the base version of ourselves, and we're all probably pretty similar and simple.
Do you think
feel like that's more possible than we all die and we're all 100% different?
Well, yeah, I think because in this world, we worry about income, we worry about relationships, we worry about all the things that make us who we are in this world. But once you let that go, like, remember the book, did you read that one? The one that, with the neurosurgeon that died?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, what he said is, you know, so he had kids and he had a wife and everything.
I said I was going to, but I was lying.
Well, I didn't know. I thought you said that you would read it.
I was going to, and then my friend read it, and she was like, you know, it wasn't that scientific. I recommend
no.
The other one.
Yeah, it was
That's
very...
That's the one I read 45% of.
See?
But anyways, he said, like, when he died, he saw his kids and stuff, and he was just like... He didn't really have, he was like, they're just another part of this tentacle. You know what I mean? This this, all souls are connected in this afterworld. And even though we have relationships in this world, and so much mean, there's so much meaning to things. I like my truck, right? I really like my truck. But in the afterworld, who gives a shit about your truck, right? It doesn't mean anything. And those, so then you I guess that's inanimate. Now you take that relationship that you have with other beings that share consciousness, and all your earthly connections are gone, and now you are ascending into this next part. So your wife or your mother, your father, you don't really have that yearning that you want to be with them and that you miss them in this world, but in the next world, you have that in this world, but in the next world, because this doesn't matter, you know what I mean? This isn't how, am I making sense?
Are you talking about the
peace out?
Yeah, so in the next world, we all just kind of share.
Isn't that the collective conscious?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Some folks think the universe is really just a collective of consciousness, and it's all knowledge, and then we're all connected to it. And then when we die, your soul is really the energy or the consciousness or the subconsciousness that goes back to it.
So we can't even begin to like figure out what the afterlife is going to be like. It's just going to be, you just got to kind of go, and then when you go,
I guess
whatever.
You worry about it when you get there, man. Cross.
I know.
You can't at all say that based on what we know, here's what we know it's going to be like. You have to know that there's no way to know, so don't worry so much about what's going to happen. Just be where you are now and live the life that you have, because once you get there, you'll be there. You'll figure it out.
Let me, unless anyone has something, I want to read some.
I did want to make a comment about the collective consciousness. I think that was a theory brought up by Carl Jung, whose book I've read 25% of.
Soon you're going to have a whole book under your belt.
Yeah. But he was very obsessed with dreams. And I just want to get back to this whole beanie weenie thing. Because I know you think that it's inconsequential, but it was a kind of interesting the way he would analyze people's dreams. And he would really have to, in some cases, he would have to do a lot of research to figure out what they meant. But he was determined to find out what all dreams meant. And I actually do think that your beanie weenie dream might have actually meant something at that time. It might have meant you had indigestion that night, but it definitely meant something.
Cosmic message that you just because it was beanie weenies or like whatever.
So I'll just give you about 20 seconds what the dream was.
Okay.
So I was in a cellar and there was a guy milking a cow. And as I walked down the steps, there's this huge vat of beanie weenie sitting next to the cow. And the guy just looked at me and he said, "Are you going to have some beanie weenie or what?" That's the dream. So, I mean, maybe there's something to it. I don't know, but
I'm trying not to.
A lot to it.
I know. There's so much.
I'm
42.
At the time. No, I had this dream like when I was in college.
Okay.
Let's say, because it's a time for like exploration.
There's so much phallic representation in there.
Beanie weenies are little chunks of hot dogs and beans.
Yeah. But who's the
Freud?
Freud.
Yeah. Everything.
Carl Jung would have a field day right now.
I know he would.
Milking cows and beanie weenies. You can come on. There's so much symbolism in that.
So you think that the mind is sophisticated enough that you can dream in symbolism?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yes.
So in absolutely. One instance. Freud actually, he was analyzing the dream of one of his patients, and he realized that one of the elements in her dream was a symbol from like ancient times. He had to do research in history to figure out where that came from, something that she would not have known.
So she was dreaming about an ancient symbol.
Yes. It's crazy.
Did she like write it? Like she just drew it and was like, "This is what I'm dreaming of."
Yeah, she would just talk about her dreams. And I mean, I think it's worth taking a look at, because he did a whole lot of looking into this.
Are you saying taking a look at that specific dream or just dream interpretation in general?
Because
I've looked into a lot of dream interpretation.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not overly concerned about that one dream. I just find it kind of, I thought it was absurd, but apparently it is more entertaining to you guys than
maybe you it was a precognition.
I didn't mean to imply that you don't actually already know like quite a bunch of shit about dreams. I'm really obsessed with it, so I always just assume that nobody knows what I know.
What's amazing about that dream, though, is that your brain, however it accessed that information, turned it into that little blip of time in your life. It has now come back, and that same idea that your brain has worked up, it's now gone through all of us. It's going out into cyberspace, and then probably a few thousand people are going to listen on here. Isn't that bizarre?
Circle of life.
Well, that is
Hakuna Matata.
Exactly.
Well, think about like all the dreams you've had. I don't even know the statistic, but every night.
27.8.
Yeah. You're definitely a serial killer. I don't know if you need to know for sure or not, but you are. But we have how many dreams? Like that's stuck with you, you know, for whatever reason. It's really not, but apparently it is.
Do you remember old dreams from when you were younger?
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah. So I have a lot of trouble sleeping and my dreams are very realistic because I have a lot of people just like close their eyes and like sleeping, like slept like a baby. I'm like, I hate you, but I think that's great. So I've always had a lot of trouble sleeping, but so I've always had very vivid dreams because I think I'm never quite in that like deep sleep thing.
I want to get in.
I feel like our dreams are connection to your subconscious in some ways. A lot of the similarly to meditation, you're able to put yourself in a state where your consciousness kind of shuts down for a second because you're not using your five senses, and you're allowing your brain to react to whatever's going on or whatever information has come in through the day or your whole life. And now it's able to start thinking. So you're more sensitive to stuff. So, you know, you think of it, if you're in a bright room, your eyes adjust to it. And you go into a dark room immediately, it takes time, but your eyes adjust to it. And then if you're in a loud place and then all of a sudden it gets quiet, you adjust to it. So if you are sleeping and you're able to shut off all those five senses, and you allow your subconscious to take over, now you're experiencing something quite a bit different. You know,
right.
And that might be your connection to the collective consciousness or the universe or whatever it is or all these other energies. Or it could potentially just be whatever, it's memories, right? Like the beanie weenies.
You're basically letting down physical guard.
You let down your physical guard. Now you're able to connect to things that consciously you're not able to connect to because you're too busy focused on what you can see and touch, because those things are so real and they overpower your subconscious. But now that you're shut down, it's a lot in the same ways when some people meditate, they take
this guy leaves his body.
Some people,
yeah. Mike's like, I walk through walls and float through the universe.
Different things, man, and their brains taking place.
Have you ever had a dream?
But I think it's similar. Your brain just kicks into different things, and you're able to tap into stuff. Because you know we only use 10% of our brains, right? Or 11 or whatever. I mean, I might only use
10%. I think that was debunked.
Yes,
was it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, then I don't know about that. So what do we?
You may only use 10%.
It's debunked for some people.
What are we? So what 100.
100%, yeah.
We actually use 100%. So they went from 10% to 100% overnight, and that's like, no, it's not 10%. It's 100%. We actually use 100% of our brain?
Yeah, because it's not like we're looking at it like a hard drive, and only 40% of your hard drive is used, or 30% or whatever. The brain, the way it's set up, it's just the whole thing is used, but you do have, I guess, some extra gigabytes in there to store memories and to learn new things. But in general, the whole thing is...
We'll see what happens in the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Once
Elon Musk's theory proves to be true.
Have you... Which is what the...
He's the one who thinks that we're actually not real.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're in the Matrix, Matrix, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a dream that affects you? Like, I had this dream... I don't know how long ago now, but I had a dream. I was at a party with my family, and this is right around when my grandmother passed away. And she was sitting in the chair, and I'm like, honestly, I'm looking, I'm like, woo, she's dead. Why is she at this party? Because I couldn't separate myself from the dream. To me, it was real. And I was like, and all my cousins and everybody was there, and I went up, and I was like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, she grabbed my hand, and her hand was really, really warm. And I remember that. And it was this bizarre, like, we kind of just connected a little bit without words. And then I woke up, and it was more than just, you know, you dream about pizza, and you wake up, you're like, I like pizza. I woke up and I kind of felt like I had just interacted with her. Do you? I mean, could I have interacted with her? Maybe I tapped into that part of my brain that.
We started with ghosts. So I wonder if that's some of that energy. Like
yeah, yeah. I mean, did she come through?
And now you're able to identify it because you let your five senses go, and you're like, oh, here's that extra energy.
I have 27 senses, actually.
27 yep. senses? Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible.
I work on it all the time. Working on 28 right now.
I think... I think there was also a physician who worked in a long-term care facility, and he documented several cases where people who were just about to die would see. Well, you told me about this too. Like, I've heard this on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. People who were just about to die would see old dead loved ones.
Fun fact: we are actually going to have a person who had a near-death experience come on soon. He's hard to get in touch with, man.
Define a near-death experience.
That's
not much of a claim to fame, there, right?
I know. He almost died and didn't.
Driving 540.
Yeah, I mean, how
80
close?
Miles an hour.
Technically, yeah. If I'm here and a car's driving by out there, I mean, technically, I'm near death because I could walk out there. No, I think he legitimately got sick and flew around and did whatever in the outside of his body or something like that. Yeah. So let's go because I want to go back to the original intent why we're here is let's talk about ghosts and then all right. So now we've kind of discussed. I don't know, I guess what our consciousness is, what our soul is. Now, then explain to me, if you're a believer, if you're not a believer, maybe we can wax philosophically and find out what a ghost would in fact be. So we're in this old building. Some people can walk into an old building, I think they're all full of shit, but they can say like, oh yeah, I feel energy over here. I'm feeling the strength of a man over here.
You had a guest on your show that could do that. What was her name? What was
Sherry Lassiter.
Sherry Lassiter. She could do that.
Yeah. Well, could she? I thought she said she couldn't find ghosts or something. She could talk to my dog.
I can talk to your dog.
No, I'm sorry. The dog could talk to her.
I thought she was one of those people that could walk into a building and tell you about stuff.
Maybe she could. I don't remember.
Mike, you do that too.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
let's just go with the ghost thing. So if a place is haunted and people legitimately feel like it's haunted, what the hell is there? Is it the person's soul? And if it is, are they just screwed because they're stuck in a brick building for the rest of eternity? And once this brick building is gone, because eventually we're going to be hit by a comet or swallowed up by the sun, is that soul then doomed to float around empty universe just because it inhabited the space that is now a burning earth? You know what I mean? Like what? Or am I looking at it, I guess, the wrong way or something?
I guess it could be residual energy from someone who existed here prior.
Because this building has had a lot of dead bodies in it. And I think you said
no doubt. It's like 100. Yeah, if this was an old funeral
part
of bodies in general, people.
Yeah.
Alive and dead.
So are you afraid? Do you feel that this place might be haunted?
No, not at all.
Ouija board. We need to break out and find out.
I have a Ouija shirt.
All right. I guess we'll bring out the Ouija board.
Oh, I brought my tarot cards too.
Did she just run? She just took off. She's like,
yep, I'm out of here.
As soon as we start talking about the haunting, Savannah took off.
Yeah, we just lost Savannah. So
I've been thinking about it just because it's fun to think about. But
she's back.
Where's she headed?
Oh, she did that whole route so she wouldn't walk in front of the camera. That's pro.
Wow.
She is a freaking pro.
Now we've already called her out on it. So Wells walked in front of the camera. I mean, it could be residual energy. It could be that time doesn't really exist in the way we think it does. It could be that it's cyclical.
So it may not even have consciousness. It might just be like a reflection of what
was.
I mean,
we think of time like a straight line, but it could be a circle. It could just keep coming
around Earth.
Did you watch that? I sent you that.
That guy was awesome.
Amazing. JP Sears?
Yeah.
We need to do a flat Earth episode.
Yeah, we really should find a flat Earther or whatever.
But it could be that time doesn't exist in the way in which we think it does. And maybe we're just seeing able to connect to those other dimensions. I don't know, man.
Do you think that maybe... like right now, the fact that we're living this moment and we're consciously interacting with each other, that perhaps, in your theory, that time isn't linear, that perhaps we are also doing this at another time and someone is seeing us right now?
I think so, yeah.
So, like, and just somehow they're tapped into it? So right now I'm technically haunting this place?
Well, yes.
100 years ago.
Yeah,
or
no,
200
or no,
years from
or
now.
200 years into the future. We could be, we're here thinking we're doing this thing, and 200 years from now, there's an even cooler bar, and people are drinking, and they're like, I just heard someone talk about a podcast.
That's impossible.
I know, of course not. Ridiculous. Yeah. I think it's possible. It's all possible that we could be sitting here doing this, and the casket maker Barnes, you know, is making his caskets right now and looking over going, does anyone see these like millennials over here talking into a microphone and eating shit out of a bag?
Not a millennial.
Does anyone see that, or should we just go ahead making our, you know what I'm saying?
What is the cutoff for millennials?
Does
what
anyone
is
that? 1984. These people sitting around with a microphone, like, what? Or should we just keep doing what
you're not
we're
a millennial.
Doing and ignore it?
When were you born?
78.
80.
See, you can't tell. No one can ever tell her age because of all the Botox.
Oh, of course. I always look to her for like approval, and I'm like, I can't tell. Is she happy? Is she sad? Does she want to kill me?
She's paralyzed.
The same.
I'm actually due for my next appointment tomorrow, so I've got plenty of expression right now.
I was going to say, don't go.
So there.
I was going to say, don't go, because I'm still confused. Don't go.
So,
but we could be the ghosts.
We could be. I was gonna say on the ghost front, though. I guess the two questions I had: one is anybody here actually seen or experienced a ghost? And number two,
yes.
Okay. Does anybody believe in ghosts? That are
oh, also yes.
Look, Jamie's also a camera woman.
Jamie saw one, and I have a current.
All right, let's hear it.
Go ahead.
I just took a bite of a potato chip, but I took a literature class in college. And there was a bunch of different books. One of the books we read was Beloved by Toni Morrison. And it was all about the a woman who found a naked girl in a field and took her in and raised her. But it turned out that she was the same age as her miscarriage daughter or something like along that. So she was actually the ghost of her daughter that aged. But anyways, that's the book. It's called Beloved. It's a really great book.
I thought you were trying to claim that was your experience. I was like, that doesn't count.
You're like, I've read that 25%.
Sorry. Backstory. Yeah, Oprah probably recommended that book. She loves Toni Morrison. But.
Mike's like, I found a baby in my backyard and I've been raising him.
I raised it.
This way he's telling the government for the money he's getting.
So anyways, we got to do this project. So we decide, me and one of my classmates, we're going to do a ghost hunt. We're going to tie it into the book somehow. So we go to St. Augustine, Florida, which is the oldest city in America, right? We do a ghost tour, and it's all weird and crazy. Well, we end up talking to the ghost guy, the ghost tour leader, and he says, hey, love the idea. I own a bed and breakfast. You guys can camp out in the living room for free. The place is haunted, and then you can just go off and do your ghost hunt. So that's what we did. I brought Jamie, because we were dating at the time, and then, I don't remember her name, Angela or something, brought her boyfriend, and the four of us, we camped out in this living room of this old bed and breakfast. Well, the guy's telling us stories and all this sort of stuff, and then he goes to bed. Well, before he does, he says there's a ghost in the house, and there's several ghosts, but one of them, there's all these teapots above the cabinetry. Kitchen cabinets, there's all these teapots, and there's one in particular that no matter where he puts it or how he turns it, will always find itself back in this one place and completely turned into this particular direction. So he points it out. I go up on the counter, and I'm like, can I mess with it? And he's like, yeah, no problem. So I turn it 180 degrees, and I get down, and I cool, and then everybody leaves the kitchen, including me. I'm the last one to go out. So we're sitting, we're talking, and then we're like, let's go on the ghost tour. And I'm like, before we do, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, we're gonna go run old St. Augustine. I'm like, let's go back in the kitchen. We go back in the kitchen, and sure enough, the thing is swung all the way around the way it was prior to me moving it. Now, you could say the guy went back in there or somebody went and turned it, but he didn't because we watched him leave. That was one of the things we did. We paid attention to him leaving the room, so he didn't go back into the kitchen. And then the second thing, all the whatever, so it turned. So you can say that, but the thing that really freaked me out was as we were leaving the kitchen, we're kind of freaked out by this, and we're like, this is weird. So as we're leaving, one of the cabinet doors opens up completely, and it's one of those old school ones. Malia has these in her house, so she can talk to it, you know, the snap cabinets that kind of snap shut, because back then they didn't make stuff plumb or whatever, you know, and it was kind of full. So it was one of those snap shut things. Does that make sense? So it was one of those. And so we're walking past, and all of a sudden you hear, and the whole door swings wide open.
Ooh, that's scary.
No lie. Jamie's right there. She was there. And we're like, and then my classmate,
someone cried, you said?
Yeah. Angela or Amy or something. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God. So tears are coming out, right? And she's like, we got to get out of here. So we left. And no kidding. So, but before we did, because I'm still at the time, I'm kind of a skeptic. So I'm like, what the
fuck?
So I'm like feeling around. There's nothing in the cabinet that popped it open, man. I know the first thing John's like is there must be some mechanism.
Well, what if there was just a shift in the Earth's crust and it just knocked it off?
You would think that, but it's one of those things that like snap shut. You know, it's one of those, like you'd find in like a travel trailer, you know, a fifth wheel or whatever you call those.
I guess, I hear your story. I like it. It's interesting. I mean, what I would say is that there's 100 explanations that I would come up with prior to concluding that it's a ghost. You know, I mean, who knows what kind of things are going on, magnetic forces. There's all kinds of things that could explain it. So, I mean, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean it's not real.
Forces, yeah.
Yeah, but whatever it is, I mean, there's things that can explain it. So to me, it's when we have things that we can't explain, we use that as the explanation. And to me, that's a big reach to go to that conclusion. That's the least likely, in my opinion, of what causes it. I mean, I'm a skeptic, but
potentially, but I mean, it was, I guess having been there and seeing it and knowing that I turned the pot. I did it. I turned it. I was the last one to leave, and I was the first one to go back in. Right, there could be secret doors, but seriously, who's going to spend the money to create secret doors in a kitchen if the mess with a pot, you know? When there's a bunch of kids, like, how often does that happen? You know,
so I bet you John would say somebody would do that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, but I mean, think about like a glass with water, condensation, and it moves across the table. Like the first time, a couple times I saw that, that's really freaked me out. But it's just water.
Like it wouldn't, exactly. Wouldn't the, like if I said, like when I jokingly said aliens, isn't that just as likely as a ghost, since they're both unexplained?
Yeah. Actually, I liked that theory better for some strange reason.
Aliens? Yeah. You know why?
Than a ghost?
Because I feel like an alien, that's as much as we can't imagine it, that's something that it is what it is. And so it would be reasonable that we would all see the same thing. If it's a ghost, then based on our dreams and all the consciousness and all that stuff we were talking about, then we all see totally. You don't dream the same thing. You don't dream the same thing.
If you're seeing a ghost, and we kind of
the same thing,
and we kind of figured out that it's some sort of subatomic wavelength that we're picking up on, I guess you would all see the same thing if everyone's tuned in at the same exact time. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the alien thing, I guess, is just as plausible, just except for the fact that
you don't believe it.
I don't. Well, I mean, with aliens,
I don't think they would be here.
Right. I mean the sophistication of aliens making it here,
and
what they would do, and all, you know, you get into that whole discussion. But as far as that story, I mean, I've heard not that same story, but I've heard other stories where groups of people have seen things, and it just sounds so compelling. And then I'll ask one, and they'll be out of five people, there'll be two or three that are total skeptics. Yeah. They'll be like, oh, I don't believe in ghosts. And I'll be like, wait a minute, you were supposedly there and you saw that. And so what I would say is, I bet you there are people who are there that are like, I don't believe in ghosts, or they don't either.
Wait,
they have
that doesn't prove the point though. I mean,
no, my point is that what she's saying is that the story is so compelling and everyone had the same story and everybody believed it, and it's, you know, there's ghosts. But what I'm saying is that I've heard similar stories where one or two of those people will just say, yeah, I'm still skeptical.
Some
of it is just the mob mentality too. Although I do believe in, I think there's something else out there. I hate to call it like ghosts, but because it's like Ghostbusters, whatever. But I think there's something else that's going on. I think when you get those, like what you're talking about, everyone experiences one thing, but then they're all like, they're skeptics. I mean, that's kind of like that mob mentality. And it goes back to the witch trials in Salem, where you can just convince somebody that this is happening to you. And
which ones?
They would, all of them, I guess.
Ew.
But you know, they would like, you know, they would faint, you know, and it'd be, it was a very physical reaction. to a belief that this person was actually a witch, but it didn't. They weren't witches, right?
Weren't you?
I think it's the same. The same could be true here. I mean, it could just be like, you know, just you have this. Well, one person exists, and it's like the tipping point. It sets this fire amongst everyone, and
when you're okay with that concept, when you're okay with that, we're not so self-righteous to think we're the only ones here, and we're all there is. The people who are okay with that are generally like, oh hey, look, there's someone standing over there that nobody else sees. I'm okay with that. It's the people I think who are like, well, that's not possible. Then it happens, and they freak the hell out.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, the folks who are like, no, it can't ever be possible. It's just, to me, it's like silly. I mean, that's to say that it's not possible is it's just as silly as saying, oh, it's absolutely possible.
I was hoping you can't something would happen
like
here tonight.
This or, and all that. I think it's, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Maybe we're
because you can't know for certain that it's there's no way this could never be. There's no such thing as a ghost. There's no way to really know that. Just as there's no way to really prove it.
Yeah, you can't prove something doesn't exist, but you can prove something does exist.
Right.
Right. You can't prove that it does not exist.
Right.
So to say that it doesn't exist, it's pretty to me it's like just is as silly as saying, oh, it absolutely does. I think it's possible that it does exist. What?
Prove that something does exist, though.
Yes,
sure.
I mean, unless you want to get into the realm that none of us exist, kind of, you're going to go into that realm. But you can't prove something doesn't exist, but you can certainly prove something does exist.
Do
like a consciousness. I think Descartes proved that. I think, therefore, I am. Right.
Right.
So at least we know that much. Like, at least I know that I exist. I don't know if any of you exist.
That's not self-righteous at all.
Oh, I was going to say, you said you investigated places, right?
What do you mean? Yes, but in what regard?
Like a ghost hunter.
People wanted to shoot the... No. Yeah, as a ghost hunter or something like that. Didn't you say, or... Oh, I thought you said you had done that, or...
No, I said I investigated... I just did research on ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I haven't, like, gone and done, like, ghost hunting or anything. I've tried, but I've been unsuccessful in my attempts.
Yeah. Well, last year, Mike and I got drunk and went down to this... still, and we started trying to record things, and we found nothing.
I remembered another ghost story.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
No, I was just...
You posted the picture that I sent you.
Yeah. So if you go on the website right now, if you go on the Facebook website, which you would be on if you're watching this on Facebook Live, otherwise, you can go to the Facebook site. You'll see the photograph that Mike took. Oh, we're down to one! People are like, screw this. Yes. All right, let's move on because there was a couple other things I wanted. What's that? Oh.
Oh, you just said that. We're going to move on.
Oh, I shifted.
They're on the floor.
Yeah, we're giving them free advertisement to that one person.
We're not even going to carry them.
Who is it? Who's watching? It's probably Mike. It's probably your phone still on.
Prize out to the watcher.
Now I just totally lost my whole train.
Sorry, I interrupted.
It's okay.
First.
No, there was a ghost hunt that you guys got drunk.
Yeah, we went to the stills, remember?
Yeah. We just went down. We were drunk and bored, and we decided, let's go look for ghosts. And we went down to the stills, and we didn't find any.
No, nope. Not nothing. That doesn't mean that they don't exist. But that ghost hunt that we went on, I took a photo of a ghost. I have it. It's on my cell phone. I think it's very real. I'm like,
ooh, I'd like to see that.
It creeped me out so bad. I'll have to show it to you.
No, don't show it to John. Why? He's just going to debunk it.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, I want to believe. I wish it was true. I would love to see a ghost.
I took the photo with my phone. I gave it to Kevin because we had talked about something similar on a previous podcast.
And I analyzed it.
Yeah, he did. So if you look at it, so anyways, so we go to this old crazy prison in Charleston.
And oh, we're going to look at it.
But anyways, we need to do that. So we went to this prison, and I was taking photos of the, just in the dark, just taking photos. And sure enough, I you can't see nothing while you're doing it, but I took it with the flash on, and I took some without flash off. And then when we got back, Jamie and I, we got back to our hotel, I was looking through them, and one of them had an image in it. And it... And if you, it's a face. And if you look at it,
looks like Coolio.
Do you see it?
Up top? Yeah, it's smiling, it looks like.
No, that's not it.
It's a Rorschach test. Yeah. I'm seeing Beanie Weenie all over the place.
Beanie Weenie.
Do you see it? It's right here. And I swear he's got, he looks like Coolio.
I was all by
myself. I'd have to stare at it more. So, I'm picking up other things.
Yeah, yeah. But that's fine. I'm going to tell you about the picture real quick, because if you look at it, it's all black, right? Because I took out the flash.
Let me see that.
But if you look at it, you vaguely see an image of a face and a head and then some shoulders. Well, if you screw around with the, what do you call that? The contrast and the lighting.
He's like, you just use a little Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly. Have a guy dangle something.
No, but if you play with the contrast and you try to change the warmth and the structure and all that sort of stuff, it pulls an image forward. But if you took a picture of you in the dark, you can distinguish you from the dark.
Uh-huh.
But when you play with the editing features, right? But if you play with the editing features, you can't distinguish the dark. Does that make sense? You can see outlines look like that could potentially be like energy.
Exactly,
but you can't. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very clearly like a man's face. And
well, knowing how a camera works, what would it be even picking up? Like what
energy?
But
I mean, it captures light, right? The idea of a picture is it captures light. Light reflects on it as film.
Say again?
And then,
right
and then
here,
that's energy.
Nose,
light is energy.
Eyes,
it'd
mouth.
It'd have to be the reflection Cleo light,
hair.
Or it would have to be.
Looks like a black guy looking off this way.
Why you got to be a black guy?
I'm Cleo. I mean, what are you going to say?
Did you, Mike, did you feel anything?
You don't see it?
Or was it just...
I mean, it just looks like nothing to me. I mean, I would never look at that and be oh my gosh, just a person.
You can see it.
I've seen it. Let me see.
It looks like a person.
You see it right there? There's a...
You're going to have to post that, Kevin.
Oh, it is. It's posted. I'll tweet it out.
Okay. Then, did you see anything other than the picture? Could you see it without through the camera?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
I was just trying to rein it in.
My whole thing.
No, I was just trying to understand if it was affecting any of your other senses, or this is just something that showed up an aberration on a picture.
Well, you got to understand, you're in a haunted jail. The whole thing is creepy. So all your senses are like, man, this is creepy right now. Like you feel creepy, you see creepy, you hear creepy things. Like it's just creepy, man.
But since there's no...
But your phone doesn't know, so you're just taking photos. And then I go back and I'm like, there's something.
I mean, you think about like mediums and, you know, people like that. Like there are people, like for you, you're like, nope, I don't want to see it. If it's here, I don't give a shit. I just don't want to know. And then there are other people who are like, I welcome it. I want to see it. I think that things may be present, but I also think there may be a difference between being haunted and being just receptive to things.
Yeah.
If you don't want to see things or know that anything's around, and it's like, well, sorry about your luck, here I am, then you're haunted. If things are there and you're receptive to it, then, you know, it's a presence.
Well, I do want to ask, have you had any experiences?
No. I mean, I've had unusual things I necessarily couldn't explain, but nothing to where I'm...
What's an example?
Of I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I was like thinking that it could be a ghost.
Like,
but
I don't know. Right now is sort of one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I've certainly talked to a lot of people who have claimed to have seen stuff and
experienced
stuff.
Has. Everyone has a story.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't... Nothing that I would ever be like, yeah, I think that was a ghost.
My dad actually had an experience, speaking of people's dads, and he's pretty, like, not like me at all. Very, just a staunch scientist.
Yeah.
Says the scientist in the room. But
yeah, I know. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I'm open to this whole idea of woo-woo ghosts. And my, you know, I tell my dad all these woo-woo things, and he's like,
dad's, like, hardcore Christian, believes in God, the devil, he has belief, but he's like the whole woo 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 ghost. He's like, nah, I don't know. I don't know so much. So
yeah,
he's the same way.
What happened to him?
So he was in his bathroom in one of their old houses. They lived in a house in a rental in Durham for a little while, and he was just sitting there in the bathroom, and he heard footsteps walking through the house, and then the TV turned on. Somebody turned on the TV. And I mean, I guess that sounds really innocuous, like nothing, but it was pretty inexplicable. Like it couldn't have been, it wasn't my mom. Like he knew where she was. I mean, then somebody would have had to come back out of the house. Like he would have, you know, seen that. And then the weirdest thing about it was that the TV was on a channel that made no sense. Like they, it always turns on the channel that you had it on. And it was on like the zero, channel zero. And it was like one of these old TVs where you really have to actively put it on that channel.
To me, that would make sense then, because if it was like a glitch, it's going to go to like some sort of preset weird channel thing. You know what I mean? Rather than, I mean, that I think you could explain. When my grandmother passed away, the same one that I had the dream about, she used to watch her programs back in the day. You know, they always said, I got to put my programs on. And after she died, the TV in my parents' house would always turn on to her programs.
What?
Yeah. Ooh. I didn't witness this. Or maybe I have. And I was just like, what? And to me, it was like, ah, it's an aberrant signal that just hit that. And but yeah, it turned on to her programs. Or it would switch the channel. If you're watching football, all of a sudden, boom, go over to her. And we're like, what's going on here? But
so that did trigger my closest ghost experience.
Okay.
And it happened very recently.
I'm sorry to have triggered you.
I'm sorry. So
trigger warning, ghost experience, go.
I woke up at about 2 a.m. with the ceiling light in the bedroom on. Mm-hmm. So the big overhead with the fan ceiling light on. And I'm a true crime writer, so I immediately thought I was being murdered. Right? Like, why is every light in the room on? I mean, it was horrifying.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I figured it's got a remote control that I must have hit my hand while I was sleeping. And then the next day I came home from somewhere and the light was on and the fan was on and I'm like, I didn't turn that on.
Do you live alone or do you?
No, with my girlfriend.
Okay.
So, she had left before me, so I knew that I was the last one to leave. And so this happened about 5 or 6 times that either the fan's on, the light's on, and it woke me up again in the middle of the night where I just wake up thinking I'm being murdered. So that's when I started thinking that I think I might have a ghost. And it's a fairly new house, but I was like, I really can't explain this.
But it's not necessarily the house. It could be the land. It could have been what existed prior to the house.
Wait, Mike, what are you doing?
Right. Don't be debunking my story.
So, we need to curse this guy.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is it could be you said it was a fairly new house. I'm saying that the ghost doesn't necessarily connected to the house. It could be connected to the land or just whatever the geographical area is. I'm trying to support the theory.
Mm. Right.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I put the remote control in the drawer. I was doing everything because I was paranoid that something was going on. Uh-huh. So I finally called an electrician, just like on a whim. And what he told me was that, your neighbors could have the same remote control. And I'm like, that's not going to work. And so what he did is he went into the front of the house and through 3 walls in the house, he was able to turn the light on and off and turn the fan on and off. And so he's like, oh yeah, they all come with the same codes from the factory. And so all somebody I got to do is reprogram it. And so he reprogrammed it. It's never done it since.
Dang it.
And I was very, very close because I couldn't explain it and it was really freaking me out. So I was definitely thinking it was a ghost for a while.
Well, I guess the we're because I don't want to do any editing. We're wrapping this one up. Say again, what?
Less than 10% battery.
Okay, so yeah, we're wrapping it up. Anyway, so I'm gonna do my who is that guy that used to have that talk show where the people would always fight? Jerry Springer. My Jerry Springer moment. Ghosts, are they real? Well, I mean, here's the thing. No one knows. It's fun to think about, right? We didn't really get into the existential, like what it means and all that. But I mean, we have plenty of other episodes to get into that. But I thought that was a cool place. Are you guys releasing your Twitter handle yet? I remember we had some issues before.
Twitter is still at Revival 1869.
Okay.
We just haven't done anything really. We're about to get very aggressive on social media, so you'll see a lot of things with the Twitters. The Instagrams and the
Twitters. Plural. Yeah, you are definitely not a millennial.
You get it on the Twitters and the Instagrams.
The kids, they all do it. They're hitting buttons and then they're taking pictures of the food. I don't know what's going on.
FaceGrams and your SnapWeb.
FaceSpace. I got a MySpace account. Find me on MySpace.
Yeah. It's like 20 years ago, man. No, but yeah, it's all at Revival1869, the Facebook, the Instagram, and the Twitter.
And your email is Revival1869@AOL.com. Yeah,
that's right. Find us on our AOL, I am. People are listening like, what is an AOL?
I know. But no, that was a fun conversation. I kind of wished that, anyway, this is the first one live from Revival 1869. We're definitely going to do this again. Maybe when the bar, yes, there's people, sure. We'll like, go up in a corner and I don't know, it'll be fun. But
there's people in here right now.
That's right.
Can't see them.
I think it'll be cool too to show the viewers all the changes that have happened.
We'll do it again. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Twisted Podcast. You can find it on
iTunes, Stitcher.
The iTunes, the Stitcher.
The Stitchers.
Check out Twisted Podcast.
I'm listening to that one, and it's really good.
Thank you, Savannah.
It's enthralling.
It is a good podcast.
I got extremely angry after listening to one of those. I was like, oh, that's terrible.
Which one was it?
The Duke Lacrosse one drove me nuts. Yeah. But the Pizza Bomber, I remember that story. And I remember thinking, that's crazy. And then I just forgot about it.
That happened.
Thank you for reminding
me. Pennsylvania.
That happened down the road from my wife.
Yeah.
Wife grew up. Yeah. Every time we drive by it, she's like, oh, there's where the Pizza Bomber got his head blown off. Okay. Well, check us out at waitwhatif.com. Facebook. Well, you know, if you're watching it, you've found out where you can find that. I don't know what else.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And watching.
Perfect way. Yeah, and watching.
Mom.
I forgot I was going to do a shout out to my mom, who got me a bottle of Maker's Mark for my 40th birthday. So actually, we're supposed to be drinking that right now, but with all the driving and whatever. But,
thanks, Mom.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. Your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.